Okay, Parsha Shlach. Parsha Shlach. So as you know, from what I'd like to do together during this time is to study in depth some of the psukim of stories that sometimes we're not familiar with, that have snuck through the cracks, and sometimes to study the psukim of stories that we're much more familiar with, but to actually learn them in depth and see what's really there. So today, I'd like to go through, this is a story about the spies. That's the takes up the bulk of the Parsha, the story of Moshe sending the spies, and all that transpires. And it's the kind of story where you've probably heard many, many sermons over the years about it and attended many classes which reference it. But let's actually learn through part of the story. There's some fascinating aspects to it, and I'd like to tackle that this afternoon. Torah actually records this story in two different places. It's recorded here in Parsha Shlach, and then it's recorded again in Sefer Devarim, in the very beginning of the fifth book of Devarim. Moshe tells over what had taken place during their stay in the desert. And he tells it over in a very different manner than what's recorded here. So what I'd like to do is actually learn the two stories, see the discrepancies, and then learn the two approaches, one of Rashi and one of the Ramban, as to how we address them and sort of come to a conclusion. I hope we'll shed new light on a old story that you have heard many times. Let's start from the beginning, which is this week's Parsha. Now, the context is really does not seem to be connected to what took place in the previous week's Parsha, in which we discussed the end of the story was we had the complaints about the man and about the meat, and then Miriam speaking Lashon Hara, and that's really how the Parsha ends. So our Parsha begins not really connected with any episode or event which had directly taken place, and the Parsha begins with Hashem giving a command to Moshe. Vayidaver Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem speaks to Moshe. I'm on page 798. What does Hashem say to Moshe? Shlach lecho anashim v'yasuru es eretz Kenan. Send forth men, if you please, and let them spy out the land of Canaan that I give to the children of Israel. One man each from his father's tribe shall you send, every one a leader among them. So let's break down the pasuk as we are wont to do. Come on in. Let's break down this first pasuk. So what do we have here in the beginning of Parsha Shlach? We're on the 798, the beginning of Parsha Shlach. What do we have? What's the breakdown of this pasuk? What are we told? What's that? Send spies. Whose idea is it to send spies?
Sounds like it's
Hashem's idea, right? We begin. Hashem says to Moshe, right? Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe.
If you please.
Right, if you please. But whose idea is it? Who starts the conversation? Hashem starts the conversation. Send four spies. Now, what else does he tell him?
One man from each tribe.
Okay, so Hashem tells Moshe, I should say, who should go. It's Hashem's idea that it should be one man from each tribe for a total of 12 people. And one little small detail?
A leader.
Each one is a leader. So it's Hashem's idea. Hashem initiates this conversation. In other words, remember, in context, this is not coming from anywhere. The previous Parsha ends. It's a discussion about Miriam saying Lashon Hara on Moshe and the punishment, and the Jewish people wait a week. So it's really coming out of nowhere, so to speak. We have Hashem starting with a tzivui. He opens up the command. Send, if you'd like, spies. What's the goal of these spies? What's the word that the Torah uses? What's their objective?
Check out the land.
Right? What's the Hebrew word? V'yasuru, which is translated correctly here as to spy. So whose idea is it? Shem's idea. What's the objective of the 12 people who are going to be sent? Reconnaissance mission. They're going to go to spy. Who should go? Hashem included that. Who should go? I want one from every tribe, and I want them to all be leaders. What's the implication to us when he tells us it should be from one of every tribe and they should be a leader? What does that tell us about this mission?
It's important.
And it's representative, right? It needs to be equal. It can't be where I only want some of the tribes represented. I want every single one to have an equal stake in this mission, whether or not it's going to be for good or for bad. Everyone's going to have an equal stake. And then the fact that it's not just equal that there's a member of tribe, but that it's a leader who's sent, what does that tell us? A, that it's important, and that we need important people doing this. Okay, that's how we start. Pasuk Gimel, Vayishlach Osam Moshe Mimidbar Paran Al Pi Hashem. Moshe sent them forth from the wilderness of Paran at Hashem's command. They were all distinguished men, heads of the children of Israel were they. Okay, what did we learn in this pasuk? Anything new?
Well, Well, he did do it.
Okay.
Now.
He does it. What else is added?
The wilderness of...
Okay, the location.
The location, yeah.
One phrase is important that stands out.
They were distinguished men.
At Hashem's command, right? It's an important phrase. Al pi Hashem. So Moshe then does it. And again, the reason why I'm stressing this is because we're going to learn soon the Parsha in Devarim. If I only had these psukim, whose idea is this? Hashem's idea, right? It started, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, send them. And then when Moshe actually sends them, again it says, he sent them al pi Hashem. It was through Hashem's command they did it, and then it says, and he did it correctly, all distinguished men, they were all heads of the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's break down what happens. So the next couple psukim gives us the list, which we're not going to focus on today. Let's begin with Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk 17 on the bottom of the page, and let's go through this. I found this fascinating. I was preparing this last night, and I never actually... one of the things I love about this particular class is I like learning things in depth, because... you know, you read through the Parsha week in, week out, and you miss certain things. Let's actually pay attention to what Moshe wants from them. What are they supposed to do? What is their task as we go through this, right? Fascinating stuff. Let's start with Yud Zayin, 17. Vayishlach osam Moshe l'asuras eretz Canaan. So Moshe sends them to spy out the land of Canaan. So far, so good. That was the exact same word that Hashem had used, l'asur, to spy out, right? That's what Hashem said in Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Beis, really. Send men to spy. Moshe does that. He sent men to spy the land of Canaan. Vayomer aleihem, what does he say to them? Olu ze banegev va'alisem es ha'har. You should ascend in the south and climb the mountain. So he wants them to come in from the south. I don't know for sure exactly which mountain he's referring to. I'm not sure. We'll sort of have to just leave that as a question for right now. And if anyone comes up with a good answer, please let me know. But that's what he tells them. Start from the south, climb the mountain. Okay, anyone have your pens and paper ready? Pasuk Yitzchas. Uri'isem es ha'oretz mahi. What's the first thing they need to do?
See the land.
See the land. How is it? Mahi. Question number one. See the land. Mahi. Ve'es ha'om hayoshev aleha hechazak hu harofe hame'atu imrav. And the people that dwells in it, is it strong or weak? Is it few or numerous? So it was the first thing they needed to do in the beginning of the pasuk. The first thing is the land. See the land, how is it? Now that's a very open, vague question. See the land, how is it? Mahi, what is it? That's one, land. Then what do they need to look at?
The people.
Now the people has a two-pronged question to it. What are they supposed to check out when they see the people?
Strong or weak?
Few or numerous. Right? That's pretty obvious in terms of we would say without looking at Rashi, looking at anybody. Why do I want to know whether or not a people are strong or weak? Right, I don't have to answer that question. That's pretty obvious. Why do I need to know if they're few or numerous? It's pretty straightforward. So far, so good. Check out the land. Check out the people who live in the land. Pasuk 19. Uma ha'aretz. Again, how is the land in which it dwells? Hatovahi im ra'ah. Is it good or is it bad? What does he then go back to?
Land.
So we started with land and a general question, what's it like? The people, strong, weak, numerous, not so numerous. Go back to the land. Is it good or is it bad? Uma he'orim. What about then the cities? Habimachanim obimivtzarim. Are they open or are they fortified? Why do I want to know whether or not a city is open or fortified? Right? Again, tells me the strength of a city. Rashi will point out if a city is open, that tells you that the people feel pretty confident about themselves and they don't have to be worried. If it's fortified, they feel a little bit less strengthened about themselves and they feel the need to fortify themselves. Again, fairly rational, logical questions. No surprises there as to what we would expect. Let's just follow the pattern as to what he has said. Moshe opened up and he said, check out the land, the people, land, cities, and then look again what he does in Pasuk Chaf in 20, Uma Ha'aretz. And how about that land?
Yeah, again.
Hashmeinahi Imraza. Is it fat? Is it fertile, excuse me? Is it lean? Hayesh Bo'etzim Ayin. Do we have trees in it? Interesting, isn't that? Land, people, land, cities,
land. Three separate times he asks, Uma ha'aretz, and what's with the land? First time he asks it as a vague kind of question. He asks us, what is it? Then he asks about the land, is it good, is it bad? And then again he asks about the land, much more specific, is it fertile? Is it lean? Are there trees? Are there not trees? So five tasks that the spies are given to determine. Three of them have to do with the land. Then he asks about the people. Are they strong or weak? Are they numerous or not so numerous? And then about the cities. How do they dwell in their cities? Are they fortified or are they open? And then he has one last phrase that he says to them at the end of verse 20. Hizchazachtem, strengthen yourself, ulekachtem mipri ha'aretz, and take from the fruit of the land. End quote. That is Moshe's instruction. So Moshe sets, again, if we only had Parsha Shlach, what would we be left with? Whose idea is this? Baruch Shalom's idea. Hashem tells Moshe to do it. Moshe sends them, al pi Hashem, based on Hashem's command. What's the purpose of their mission? Spy out the land. Those are the words that Hashem used, right? Hashem said, Lasur es ha'aretz. What does Moshe instruct his 12 people to do as he sends them off? Check out the land. Check out the people. Check out the land again. Check out the cities. Check out the land. Is it fat? Is it lean? Are there trees? Are there no trees? What kind of land is it going to produce? What's it going to be like? And bring back some fruit. That's when Moshe tells them, strengthen yourself and bring back some of the fruit. End quote. We now have our 12 spies who have been given a mission. If you were one of those spies hearing this from Moshe, what are you thinking?
Pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward, right? I mean, you're sending on a reconnaissance mission. You've been given your commands, your tasks that you're supposed to check out. What you're supposed to look at, you've been given a pretty detailed set of instructions. What you're supposed to see, and you were told to bring back some of the fruit. What would you be thinking is your purpose in bringing back some of the fruit? Why do I want to show it to the people?
To encourage them, show them how good it is.
That they were there.
Right, and it would seem to be like a mission of I want you to bring something good back. Right, now the purpose would be the people should have a response of, wow, look at what's
to certify that they were there.
I would imagine so. I know that they came back with all sorts of stuff, some of the almonds and the dates and the pomegranates and the whatever else they had there. That would be a positive sign to the people.
Especially considering that they just
complained about all the food, right? Right, in the last week's parsha, all their complaints were about the mun and about the lack of meat, and they complained about the water, so they should come back with a nice bounty full of fruit. Excellent. That is so far what they've been told. Let's learn a little bit more in Parsha Shlach before we go to Parshas Bamid Devarim. Let's learn about the spies' return. Let's learn about their return. So they return in Pasuk Chaf Hei. Let's do this quickly, and then we'll get to what they actually say. Chafei, 25, Vayashuvu mitor ha'aret, they returned from spying out the land. Right? The psukim that we skipped just basically states that they got there, and they saw some of the giants, and they took some of the fruit with them, and then they returned at the end of 40 days. Vayelchu vayavo el Moshe v'el Aharon el kol adas b'dei Yisrael. They then gathered to everybody together, to Moshe and to Aaron, and to all of the people at the same time, to report what they had seen, and they showed them the fruit of the land. So far, anything odd that would strike us?
No.
Just a little bit, didn't report immediately back.
Excellent. Okay, and they were sent by Moshe, and they don't report directly to Moshe. They first go to everybody. That's of note. But so far, other than that, which is a deviance, which is of note, usually if you're sent by somebody to do a job, your initial report would go to the person who sent you. And they, without first reporting to Moshe, go to all of the people. That's of note. And they show the people the fruits of the land. Is that out of the ordinary? That's what they were told to do, right? They were told, check out these certain pieces of information and bring back the fruits, and that's what they've done.
One thing that caught my attention was at the end of 40 days,
mm-hmm.
40 seems to be a number that's...
Excellent. So this morning after Shacharis, I know. You know how many places we have 40? We have 40. Let's go through them. 40 days is the days of the flood. 40 is the days that Moshe was on Har Sinai. 40 is the days of the series of lashes. If a person violates one of the prohibitions of the Torah, he gets the number 40, which the sages say is really 40 minus 1. It's 39. But the Torah uses the word 40. The sages use the word 40 to describe the number of prohibited malachas on Shabbos, which again they use the word 40 minus 1 for 39. 40 years is going to be in the desert. 40 days they spend in spying out the land. The Gemara says that before a child is conceived, 40 days before the conception of the child, a voice from heaven comes out declaring who that child's shidduch is going to be. So the number 40, a person should be 40 before they start studying Kabbalah.
Yeah.
So the number 40 is certainly a number which repeats itself, like a recurring theme, over and over, the number 40. Excellent. Now here, in this particular instance, is odd. Rashi points out that we don't really know geography very well, and we don't really know what it's like to travel by foot. But if we did, we would say 40 days? They got through Eretz Yisrael, up, down, all across in 40 days? That's impossible. You can't possibly travel all the way through the width and breadth of Eretz Yisrael in 40 days. It's too big for that. So Rashi points out that that was actually a miracle that they were able to do it so quickly. And Rashi points out the reason is because at the end of our story, which we're not going to be focusing on today, their punishment, the reason why they wandered for 40 years, Hashem says 1 year per day that you were there is the way that you're going to be punished. Since you were there for 40 days, you're going to wander for 40 years. And since Hashem didn't want to extend that more than was necessary, so He miraculously allowed them to get through all of Eretz Yisrael in only 40 days, so that their punishment should only be 40 years.
Well, what was 40 days? Too much or too little?
It was less than what it should have taken. It should have taken much more to get all the way from the north and the south and the east and the west and travel through. It should have taken more than that. Okay, now let's learn what they actually say. Let's learn it in depth. Vayisapru lo. They reported to him. What do they say? Bonu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu. We had arrived at the land which you had sent us. V'gam zovas chalov udvashi v'zet piryo. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So if we had to have in our category, we had, right, find out about the land, the people, the land, the cities, and the land. So they come back and they say, it's a land that flows with milk and honey, and these are its fruits. How would we say, like, where are they filling in what they need to be doing? Like, so we categorize it like being, like, right now they're on target. Like, they speak about the land first, and they say, it flows with milk and honey, it's a good land, it's got plenty of bounty, here are the fruits, we've done everything that we need to do. But the people that dwells in the land is powerful, the cities are fortified and very great, and we also saw there the offspring of the giants. Amalek dwells in the area of the south, the Chiti, the Yavusi, the Amori dwell in the mountain, and the Canaanite dwells by the sea on the bank of the Jordan. They give us a report of who dwells where, and they are large. Cities are fortified, they are great. At this point, now all of you already know the story and have all sorts of thoughts, but if you're just reading the Chumash, can we identify anything that they've done wrong? What have they done? They reported what they were told to do. What did Moshe ask them to do? Tell me about the land, the people, and the cities. What do they report about? The land,
the people
that dwells in the land is powerful, and the cities. The cities are fortified and very great. Isn't that what Moshe asked them to do? Mm-hmm. Go find out about the cities. Are they fortified? Are they walled? Are they open? What about the people? Are they strong or are they weak? Are they numerous or are they not so numerous? They come back and they give a report. They say exactly what they were supposed to have done. The people are powerful. The cities are fortified. And we saw the giants are over there. And they gave us a report of who dwells where. Right? So far, so good?
Yes.
Okay, what about the word but?
That makes less of what they said in the beginning. Now they're going to say what they really think.
Even so, were they asked to report on what they really think?
It's top heavy with the things that would frighten the people rather than the good
stuff. Okay.
They start out saying it flows with milk and honey. If someone told me that and then said, but I would be quickly forgetting the good part.
Okay, that's possible. Right now we can get into what they did wrong, which is really not what I want to focus too much on today, that's true. But at the end of the day, Moshe didn't say to them, come back with a report that makes the people think that they're going to easily conquer it. Moshe said to them, find out if the cities are fortified or not. Are the people powerful? Are they numerous?
That's what he asked them to do, right? He didn't say, you know, cover up and give me a good report. He said it straight to them. He said, what are they like? Are they big? Are they strong? Are they fortified or not? Mm-hmm. And the people come back and they say, yes, they're big and strong and their cities are fortified. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we do need to discuss what went wrong because clearly this went very awry. And we hold the spies accountable for giving an evil report. And it's buried here somewhere. Now the word but is obviously going to be a critical word. Because you are correct that the word but changes the feeling of it. But simply reading a story, if you were reading the story for the first time, they did what they were told to do. Okay, let's put this all on hold. So we have basically here in Parsha Shlach, whose idea was this? Clearly Hashem's idea. He says it twice. Vayidaver Hashem el Moshe lemor shlach lecho anoshim. And then when Moshe sends him, it says it was al pi Hashem. Moshe gives them instructions. He gives them at least five details that they need to be checking out. Three of them have to do with the land, the people, the cities. The people come back and they report. They talk about the land. Flows with milk and honey. They bring back their fruits. And they say, yes, they're pretty strong. They're pretty big. Cities are pretty fortified. And they come back reporting basically exactly what they had been asked to do. Okay, let's take a pause from Parsha Shlach. Let's go to Parsha Dvarim. This is going to be on page 938 is where it begins. Okay, Parshas Dvarim begins with Moshe's series of farewell speeches, which we will get to Mirat Hashem in just a few more weeks. We'll begin to already get to Parshas Dvarim. And the first Parsha, Parshas Dvarim, Moshe goes through a brief synopsis of the history of the Jewish people that have taken place in the 40 years of the desert. This is already now at the end of the 40th year, where Moshe is giving this speech. So everything that has taken place in the first four books is already, as we say, in the books. Taken place, been recorded, and Moshe is now going to go over it and give, as Chazal understand, a veiled rebuke, in which he hints at certain things, basically going over things that they've done wrong, as he does it. And one of the things that he goes through is this episode that we just started in this week's Parsha Shlach of the spies. So let's learn a couple of psukim here as Moshe records the way that the incident took place. Pasuk Yud Tes 19, this is on page 942 and 943. So you have a nice art scroll, is so kind to us. They give us little headers, so you see on the left-hand side the beginning of our discussion of the mission of the spies. That way, I don't know how anybody learned anything before art scroll came around. But Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation post-art scroll, and we are able to continue to study. Says the Chumash. So we traveled from Chorev. They went through the entire great and awesome wilderness that you saw by the way of the Amori Mountains. Hashem commanded you, so we'll just run through this. Then I said to you, so now Moshe says, now we're ready to go in. We've been out of Mitzrayim, he's given us a brief synopsis. We've come to the Amorite mountain. Hashem has given us. See, Hashem, your God has placed the land before you. Go up and possess as Hashem has spoken to you. Do not fear and do not lose resolve. So Moshe records to us here in Sefer Devarim about an incident which took place literally 39 years earlier. Just coming out of Mitzrayim, having received the Torah, traveling forward, ready to enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael, the land that they've been promised, the land that they've been waiting all of those years in Egypt to get to. They've now received the Torah, they're ready to go, and Hashem says to them, do not be afraid. Al tira v'al pechas, do not lose any of your resolve, we are ready to go. V'atukrevun elai kulchem. And all of you approached me and said, Nishlocha anashim lefaneinu v'yachperu lanu es ha'aretz. Let us send men ahead of us and let them spy out the land. V'yashuvu osanu dovar es haderech asher na'aleba v'yifeorim asher novo aleihen. Let us send men ahead of us. They'll spy out. They'll bring back word. They'll tell us the roads that we should ascend and the cities to which we should come. Now, if I were a Bible critic in some university, what would I say about this pasuk? So right, clearly someone else is telling the story here, right? Right, in Parsha Shlach, whose idea was it? Shem's idea. Clearly, without question, twice it said it was his idea. He initiated it. When Moshe sent the people, it was done al pi Hashem. Moshe records the story to us in the end of Sefer Devarim. And, who's missing in this story? He's like, not here. I say to you guys, we're ready to go. It's time to move. Don't lose fear. And then what happens? You approach me and say, we want to send some men ahead of us. We want them to spy out the land, bring out the word, which roads we should travel. Says Moshe in Chof Gimel 23, Vayitav be'inai adavar. And I thought it was a good idea. The idea was good to me, says Moshe. Vo'ekach mikem shnei masara mashem. So I took from you 12 people, ish echad lashavet. I took for you 12, from one from each tribe. Whose idea was it to take 12?
Sounds like
Moshe. Right.
Yeah.
Right? Whose idea was it here? Sound like Moshe. All right, if we only read this story, we would say, people came to Moshe and they said, yeah, we need to, let's get some spies out there. Moshe says, great idea. I know. Let's take one from each one of your tribes, and we'll send it. If it sounds, totally as if it's Moshe's idea. So the people came, they turned, they ascended the mountain. They came to the valley of Eshkol. And they spied it out. And they took from their hands the fruit of the land. And they brought it down to us. And they brought back to us word. And they said, everything is good. If we were reading this story, whose idea was it to take the fruits?
In this
story here, in Devarim. The spies, right? It sounds like it was the spies' idea, right? All that we are told in this accounting of the story is that the people came to Moshe and said, we want spies. Moshe says, great idea. I sent 12 of you out. We have no account here as to what their mission was. That's left out. Mm-hmm. All that we're told is that they brought back of the fruits as if it was their idea. And what are we told here about what they reported to us? What did they say?
It's good.
Everything is good. And then 26 in Chavav, all that we're told here, V'lo avisem la'alos, but you did not wish to go, and you rebelled against the word of Hashem, and you said Hashem hates us, that's why He brought us here. Now, this account on its own is missing a whole lot of information, right? We're not told about Moshe telling them what to look for. We're missing, if in this account here, we're not told anything negative about what they said. All that we're told here in Shlach is they said the land is good and that the people rebelled. If you only had this story in Devarim, on whose head would you place the blame of the fact that this horrible tragedy took place and that the Jewish people had to wander for 40 years? People. What did the spies do wrong?
Nothing.
We're not told anything here about what the spies did wrong. The only blame we would have as far as reading Parshas Devarim would be on the people, because the way Moshe records the story to us, and it's always of note, this is Moshe's perspective of the story, when he tells us what happened, he says, the spies came back, they brought forth good fruit, they said the land was good, and you guys rebelled against Hashem and didn't want to go. So Moshe entirely puts the blame on the people. The way the story happens in Parsha Shlach, it seems more we're going to have it on the spies. We didn't really even read that so much so yet, but the people are a non-factor. They're going to respond. We didn't even read that part yet, but they're going to respond a little bit later. So we're going to have to deal with these two stories. Now, because we are not Bible critics at some university, we happen to believe and know that this was actually written by the same author, and this is going to be one story, which leaves us with a very big question that we're going to have to address. What's going on over here that when the story is recorded in Parsha Shlach, it clearly emanates from Hashem? That's the way it's presented to us. It was Hashem's idea. Moshe sent them al pi Hashem, through the command of Hashem, gives them all the instructions and they come back. Yet when their story is recorded to us in Parshas Devarim, there Moshe records it, Hashem is entirely not in the picture. The people come to Moshe and say, we want spies. Moshe says, great idea, I'll send 12. And then he blames it all on the people. Then when the spies came back and said the land was good, you guys rebelled and didn't want anything to do with this. Questions clear enough? Okay. see if we can answer any of these questions. These are some serious problems. Okay, so what we have is as follows. Let's start with the following point. If you had to find a major distinction between the mission in Parshas Shlach and the mission in Parshas Devarim, where would you find that distinction?
Well, in Shlach, they're told what to do.
Okay, good. As opposed to in Devarim, how are we told what in Parshas Devarim?
I think I'm not sure.
Okay, you're onto something, but you're missing it. There's no command given in Devarim. In the second accounting of the story, they're not given a command, but we are told of a mission. Look carefully back over the story in Devarim. There is a mission.
Find out which road to take and what cities to take.
Excellent. Now that's very different than what we're told in Parshas Shlach. Who's speaking again in Parshas Devarim? Who's he recording? Who's requesting the spies? The people. What do they want from the spies?
Information.
What kind of information?
Military
information. They want to know, which road should we take? Which city should we conquer? Do they mention anything about the land? Do they mention anything about whether or not they're fortified or not? Do they mention whether or not the people are numerous or not? They didn't ask those questions. They wanted to know, send men ahead of us, bring back word, the road on which we should ascend and the cities to which we should come. The Ramban's approach is going to be as follows. Let's start with the Ramban. The Ramban says as follows. We have two accountings here in the Torah. We have an accounting in Parshas Shlach, which is our Parsha, and then we have an accounting in Parshas Devarim, in which Moshe records to us his take on the story as it took place. The Ramban says as follows. He basically picks up on that distinction that we just started with, that in Parshas Devarim, the people are the ones speaking, and what do they ask? Tell us which roads to take and which cities to take. And in Parshas Shlach, Hashem gives the Moshe the command, and Moshe comes up with all sorts of other things to do as well. Says the Ramban, Ki Yisrael amru kederech kol haboim lihilochem ba'aretz nachriya. The Jewish people in Parshas Devarim approached Moshe on their own first, and they said that which any normal functioning people should do when they're about to take and conquer and attack a new foreign land. What's the most obvious question that you need to assess before you go to war? How should I go? Which cities are the more susceptible ones to take? Which are the cities? Which are the roads to travel? Says the Ramban, "V'zu eitza haguna." This is an appropriate piece of advice to do. V'chol koshei aratzos. Anytime you kind of learn, and he brings examples throughout Tanakh. Whenever the Jewish people went to war, it was a common practice to send out spies to check out the lay of the land and know which way to go. Ki hakosav lo yismach b'chol masav al hanes. You can't rely on miraculous events that say, we're going to take an army, a nation of 3 million people, we're going to go into a land that we don't know anything about, and it'll be a cakewalk. You don't rely on a miracle like that. You prepare, which way should we go, and how should we do it? What does Moshe say to that? Moshe says, this idea that you, the people, have about traveling in to see the land, and to see which route and which path to take, is a very good idea. Vayitav hadavar be'enai. That idea was good in my mind. I encourage that, and I thought it was an appropriate thing for you to do.
Well, did Hashem want to conquer the land?
Yes. As opposed to what?
As opposed to just move there.
No, he didn't want to conquer it. And conquer it, and when we'll read through those psukim to eradicate the nations, the idolaters that were in the land now, which he writes in the Torah over and over and over again, if you let them stay there, they will lead you astray. So
yeah.
Get them out of there.
Yeah.
So that it is clear that, yes, there was a plan of conquering. Good. Says the Ramban, after the people initiated, after the people came to Moshe, they say, we don't want to rely on miracles, let's go about this in a normal way, let's send out some spies and see what's going on. Moshe says it's an excellent idea. Moshe then consults with Hashem, says the Ramban, and Hashem gives him Rishus and says, Shlach lecho anashim v'yasuru etz eretz Kenan.
Then, says the Ramban, what happens chronologically was first what happened is Parshas Devarim. The people initiated. They said, we want to spy out. We think it's a good idea. And Moshe says, it's a good idea. And Hashem says, excellent. After Moshe consults with him, Hashem says, excellent idea. The Ramban's going to give us two approaches. This is the first. Let me just set that up. Excellent idea. Send for them. So the Ramban's going to approach us in this first approach. Did the people sin in any way in their asking for spies? Is that an incorrect thing to do?
Not in this moment.
This approach, no. What's the proof that Moshe is going to, that Ramban is going to bring that they did nothing wrong in asking for the spies? Better than that? What's Moshe's response when the people ask for spies?
It's good.
Says the Ramban, these are the factors on the table we've got to deal with. We've got to deal with the fact that there are two accounts as to whose idea this was. That's factor number one. Was it the people's idea, which is what's recorded to us in Parshas Devarim, or was it Hashem's idea, which is recorded to us in Parshas Shlach? We got to deal with the fact that did the people do anything wrong in asking for the spies, or no? Was it an appropriate or inappropriate thing to do? We got to deal with the fact that Moshe apparently thought it was a good idea because he tells us it was a good idea. We're going to have to deal with the fact that the spies are, something's going to go terribly awry somewhere along the way, and the spies are going to come back with an evil report. What's the order? How did this happen? And how did things go? So, the Ramban's first approach is the people initiated, and that was totally appropriate. What's my proof that it was totally appropriate? Moshe responds and says it was a good idea. After that, Moshe speaks to Hashem and says, the people want to send some spies, and I'm wholly behind it. Says Hashem, great idea. Shlach lecha on Hashem. That shifts into our parsha this week, in which Moshe says to Hashem, says to Moshe, you can send them, and they'll have them come back with a report. That's basic report number one. Continues the Ramban within this approach. What's with the fruits? Why does Moshe add that they should bring back the fruits? Says the Ramban, because Moshe knows the people are only looking for a military conquest. They're asking an entirely appropriate request as to which way should we go, which way should we attack, which road should we take, but they don't know what the land of Israel is like. So Moshe tells the spies, once you're there and you're checking it out, why don't you bring back some of the fruits? What's the purpose of bringing back some of the fruits? Because that's going to get the people entirely excited about it, and then they will go with a joyous heart, knowing that what it is that they're about to take has been given to them. It's a bountiful land. There's plenty of stuff there. So that's why Moshe then adds in the idea of the fruit. The people didn't ask for that, and Hashem never mentioned that. Why does Moshe throw in the fruit? It was in order to get the people excited about going. No, I wouldn't think so. That would sound totally reasonable. You know, in this approach, the people were totally reasonable in asking. Moshe likes it. Hashem gives them permission to do so. And then Moshe adds, and get the people excited when you come back. Give them some of the bounty of the land. Bring them back some good fruits. Says the Ramban, the Hanir Be'enai B'Lashon HaKosov, it also appears to me, just based on the way that the Torah uses its descriptive words, another approach. Kilo Nimlach Moshe B'Shechina. Moshe never asked Hashem. It's not that in the first approach what happened was people come to Moshe, Moshe agrees, Moshe asks Hashem, and then we have our parasha in which Hashem says, I give you permission. That's the first approach that Ramban says. So then I have another way of looking at this. Tam shalach lecha, the reason why Hashem starts off in our parasha of saying, it's my idea, I want you to go, ki hiskimu l'shalach lecha, he agreed, says Hashem, Hashem agrees, says Ramban, to send. Generally, you find throughout Tanakh, how many spies are there usually? It's usually always two. That's the common number. For Hashem hayodeya asidos, Hashem who knows the future, tivohu sheyishlach ishechad ishechad mikol matos Yisrael, Hashem who knows the future says, I don't want to have two. I want to have 12, one from each tribe. V'shiyu nanesim shebem, they should be leaders. Ki chofetz Hashem sheyu shovim, they should be equal. Ve'inyin kol ha-gedoylim ulai yizachru v'yashuvu el Hashem. That this way I will have 12 leaders, that therefore if they're important people, they can all help each other stay on the straight and narrow and not fall prey to any whatever will eventually happen in which they'll give back an evil report. Ve'imayin, and if they can't maintain themselves, shetiyah ha-gzeira shove b'chol ha'am. That at least the punishment that will fall upon them will be equal on everyone. V'zeh tam al pi Hashem. And this is why in Parsha Shlach it says, Hashem commands Moshe, and Moshe sent them al pi Hashem. Wasn't it the people's idea? Sheyu b'mitzvos Hashem, anesiyim b'roshe b'nei Yisrael. Says the Ramban, you know how I think it happened in his second approach? The people initiate the idea. They come to Moshe, that's what Moshe records in Parshas Devarim, and they say, we want to have spies. Why do we want to have spies? Check out the roads. Everything is so good. So far, so good. Says Moshe, good idea. Before he has a chance to send them, says the Ramban, Hashem gives him a command. That's in our Parsha Shlach, in which Hashem commands Moshe to send them, but not to send two, which Moshe would have otherwise done if it was only up to him. He tells him, I want you to send 12, and I want you to send leaders, because I know this is not going to be a simple mission. And I want leaders to be there because I don't want them to be regular people. The level of nisayon, the level of difficulty, the test that these spies are going to have not to bring back an evil report is apparently going to be a major test for them. I want leaders there, and I want it to be equal representation amongst the people of Israel. So therefore, Hashem commands Moshe before Moshe on his own would have sent spies, and he has him send 12. Now, this to me is just a fascinating way that the Ramban deals with it. The Ramban is saying, we have two accounts. Was it the people's idea or Hashem's idea? Says the Ramban, both. People had the first idea. Moshe thought it was a good idea. But Hashem doesn't let him send the spies through the people's idea, through the method that Moshe would have done. He steps in and says, we're going to do this my way because I want it to be in a certain way of equal representation. I want the leaders to be the ones who go. Leaders are not the people you send as spies. Right? That's an odd thing to send your leader. Imagine you send your president on a reconnaissance mission to Afghanistan to check out the land? That's not who you send. Right, right. I'll erase that from the recording. But that's certainly not an appropriate behavior. That's not what you do. So Hashem says, there were two separate things going on. The people initiated, but Hashem, in this week's Pasha, says the Ramban, stepped in and commands Moshe beforehand. Says the Ramban, you know what my proof to this is? Because when you read Pasha Shlach, this comes out of nowhere. It doesn't say what should have been said, that it should have been an order. The people came to Moshe and they said, we want spies. And Moshe said, good idea. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. So Hashem spoke to Moshe and said, yes, send 12. Doesn't it? It's coming out of the blue. Hashem just speaks to Moshe and says, send spies, let them be leaders. Says Ramban, because it was coming out of the blue. It was not on the heels of their comments. It was an independent command that Hashem gives to Moshe because he wanted this mission to be done in a certain way. So it's true, they both happened. The people initiated to Moshe, and then Hashem commands Moshe, unrelated to that, because he wants it done in his way. So in answer, again, we're not addressing where they went wrong, just addressing whose idea was it. The Ramban gives us two approaches. In both of his approaches, the people initiate. In his first approach, Moshe agrees, asks Hashem if he should go, and Hashem says, sure, shlach lecha, and Hashem, that's our question, let them go. And in his second approach, Moshe never even asked Hashem. Before he had a chance to do that, Hashem gives him the command and says, I want you to send them, but send them on my terms. That's how he addresses the double approach. One account that the people initiated, one account that Hashem initiated. Okay, let's learn Rashi. Rashi says, and keep a finger in both places, Rashi says in Parsha Shlach, which was back on page, if you lost it already, 798. First, on the first column there in Rashi, in Pasuk Beis, Shlach Lecha, three lines down in Rashi, if you want to follow it inside. Shlach Lecha L'daitcha. Rashi picks up on the word that it says, send for you, if you wish, if you please. On your, this is who's talking here, this is Hashem's command. This is the parsha that defined it as if it was Hashem's idea. And he says, if you want, you can send these spies. Ani, eini mitzavolach. I don't really want, nor am I interested in doing this. In Tirza Shlach, but if you want Moshe, you can send them. Because the Jewish people came and said, Nishlachan Hashem lefaneinu, which is the second account that we read in Parshas Devarim. The people came to Moshe and said, we want to send spies. Kemashe ne'emar v'tikrevu ne'elai kol kam, that you all approached me. Umoshe nimlach b'shchina. So Moshe asks Hashem.
This is how Rashi is going to put these two stories together. First, what happens is Parshas Dvar. The people come to Moshe and they say, we want spies. Moshe says, I don't know. I never heard. Hashem didn't tell me anything about this. Let me go ask. Turns to Hashem and says, what should we do? Should we send spies if people want them? Omar, Ani amarti lahem shehi tova. Hashem says, I told them it was a good land. I told them that everything was set, everything was in order, and that they'll be okay. I told them in Parshas Mosrei that they're going to have a good land. Chayehem, by my life, sha'ani nosem lehem makom litos bedivrei hameraglim lema'an lo yirshuha. Powerful words. I will give them the opportunity to fail with the spies so that they should not go and inherit it. Think about the way Rashi is quoting from Chazal here. How did the sages approach this problem here? We have two accounts. Was it the people's idea or Hashem's idea? So the people said, we want spies. Moshe says,
good night.
Nope. One second. Not yet. Rashi's got that. Moshe said, I don't know. Right? How did Rashi say it? Moshe, right away Moshe is Nimlach Bishchina. He consults with Hashem. People come to Moshe and they say, we want spies. There's like, spies? Never heard of such a thing. Let me ask Hashem. What's Hashem's response?
If you want to.
Why? Is he, what's his emotion involved? Angry, happy, upset, disappointed?
Disappointed.
Very disappointed. Why is he disappointed?
Because he told them it was a good land.
He told them it was a good land. And they don't hear that. So how do we now get set? Again, we're going to have to deal with, there's one more major question we have to deal with. So Hashem says, you don't trust me? I told you it was a good land, you want spies? You can have spies if you want. And you're going to have a big test coming up. Because if you fail, then your generation is not going to have my good lands. You don't trust me that I'm giving you a good land? If you mess up here, you'll see, none of you are going to go in, your children are going to go in, but none of you are going to have it. So how does, in Rashi's approach, how do we view the people's request? Is it a positive or a negative thing?
Negative.
It's a very negative thing. Remember, in the Ramban's approach, he said it was all very good. The problem is going to start much later in this episode. Where does the problem begin? It's going to be much later in the episode. The people's request was good. What was Ramban's proof that the request was good?
Spies were sent other times.
Better than that. What was Ramban? Excellent. Moshe said, I like it. So the Ramban's approach, the people start and they say, we want spies. Moshe said, good idea. Ramban says, okay, so far so good. Why do they want spies? Because they don't want to rely on miracles, they want to check out the land. Moshe speaks to Hashem, or Hashem on his own comes back and commands them. That's how he deals with Parsha Shlach. Hashem says, I want you to send the spies because I want you to do it on my terms. I want 12 of you. I want you to be leaders. So far so good. The story is going to go awry, according to the Ramban, only when the spies return, because the idea of sending them was fine. Says Rashi, a different approach. What's Hashem's response when the people say, we want spies?
They don't trust me.
This is a negative thing. You don't trust me? Oh, that's how he deals with the two stories. Yes, it was your idea initially. Why does it sound in Parshas Shlach like it was Hashem's idea, in which he says, I'll pi Hashem, you can go. Out, if you want to go, you can go. Says Rashi, look, I'll pi Hashem. The second time it says, I'll pi Hashem. And the bottom line of our Rashi, bir shu so, shalo ikev al yado. If you want, I'm not going to stop you. And Hashem, it's not a command that I'm telling you to go. The Ramban, who learns in Parshas Shlach that this was Hashem's idea, and he initiated a command, Rashi keeps saying, if you want, I'm not going to stop you. What's the major problem that Rashi is going to have to deal with? What forced the Ramban into saying that the people's request was good? How did Rashi understand the people's request? But what does Rashi now have to deal with?
Moshe.
Right? Moshe also said it was a good idea. Right? In other words, the Ramban, who said the people's request was good, proved and evidenced by the fact that Moshe says, I like the idea. So then, and then he deals with Hashem's command in a separate way, and then the problem is going to start much later. Rashi says the problem starts right away. The problem is starting when you made the request. You don't trust me, Hashem says. I told you it was a good land. You don't trust me? I'll give you spies if you want. Not going to stop you. And now you're going to have a big test coming up. What's the major question that Rashi now needs to deal with? But when Moshe said it was a good idea. Flip back to Parshas Dvar on page 944. Two Rashis here that are going to show you how Rashi is going to address this. Number one, Chaf Gimel. Vayitav be'inai hadavar. It was good in my eyes, says Rash. It says Moshe. Now Rashi is going to have a problem with this phrase, right? Why is it good in your eyes if we know that Rashi already told us in Parsha Shlach that the request was a bad one? Says Rashi, Vayitav be'inai hadavar, be'inai velo be'inai hamakom. Right? Rashi says, in my eyes it was good, but it was not good in Hashem's eyes. So Moshe's already, Rashi's already telling us in his approach that Hashem never liked this idea, but I did. Well, that's an odd thing. If I liked it, and Hashem didn't like it, why are you guys being punished for this? So says Rashi, V'in be'einai Moshe hayotov lama amra b'teichachos. Why is it here in the list of negative things that the Jewish people did if Moshe himself also thought it was a good idea? Says Rashi, Mashallah adam sha'omer l'chaveir. This is comparable to a person who says to his friend, Machor licha mor chaza. Can you sell me this donkey of yours? On the Elohim says, sure, I'll sell you my donkey. Will you give him to me to test it out? I want to take him for a day or so to see how sturdy it is. Will you give him to me? On the low hand, the person says, sure, you can have him. So the guy says, can I take him up onto the mountains? Can I take him into the valley? On the low hand, says, yeah, you can test him wherever you want. It's a sturdy donkey. I don't care where you go with him. So the purchaser says to himself, well, if this guy doesn't have any problems with me taking him up to the valley, down to the valley, or up to the mountain, well then clearly, he knows he's got a good product. He says, you know, forget it. Here, take your money. I'll buy him. Afani hodi'ithi l'devrechem, says Rashi. So Moshe says, so I agree to your words. You said you want spies. So I said, sure. As soon as you see, I'm ready to do whatever you want. You want to send spies? Go ahead. You're not going to find anything there that's going to be a problem. You're not going to find anything there that's going to make you not want to go. What was I hoping, says Rashi, was Moshe's response? Totally comforted with it.
Is this disingenuous still? I mean, I've always had fun with it. If you don't mean it, don't say that. And if you don't want him to do it,
I'm totally fine. In other words, this is where Rashi is going with Chazal more than the simple shot in the words. This is where Rashi is addressing that when the people made the request and that they said, we want spies, Chazal saw in that already that was a negative. The question was bad. The question is a problem. It showed a lack of faith. Now, the Ramban says, no, it didn't. They just wanted to know. They didn't want to rely on a miracle. They wanted to seek out the best route to take. And therefore, Moshe says it was very good. Rashi, quoting from Chazal, says that already in there you have a problem. Now, let me read one more Rashi, which will just round out the picture. Batikrivune lai kulchem. You all came to me. So Rashi says, and this is the first Rashi on the page on 944 in Devarim, Be'arvuvia, you came to me with chaos. You came to me in a mess. Meaning when your leaders originally came to me, you came in an appropriate... First the leaders came, it was orderly. But in this instance, when you came, the young ones were running over the old ones. It was just a mess of people charging and saying, we want spies. It wasn't done in an orderly, it was done in a chaotic way. Which again, Rashi says, was an indicator as to where their mindset was. It wasn't just we want to approach this in a normal military manner and send out spies. It was already in a panic that the people approached Moshe, we need to send out spies because we're nervous and anxious about this. And the way that it says it, you all approached me. I mean, if you all approached me at the same time, you like ran me over, young ones running over the old ones, just in a chaotic scene of requesting the spies. And in that, Rashi sees already from the beginning where the problem was. So it's no surprise in Rashi's approach when we read in Devarim, I asked the question earlier, if we read in Devarim, where is the problem? On whose doorstep is the problem of this whole episode? Is it on the spies or on the people? It was totally on the people. Moshe says the people came back. The way that it's reported to us is the spies came back and they said, everything was good. And you didn't believe in Hashem and didn't want to go up. Well, that fits very much with Rashi, who reads that the problem already started with the very request. It was when they asked for the spies that we have a problem, according to Rashi, that you didn't trust me, and that you didn't think I'm going to give you into a good land, and you came to me in a panic and in chaos, and said, we need to send spies. That's the problem. How does Rashi do with the fact that Moshe said it was good in my eyes? So, yeah, you got to deal with it, but the right Rashi deals with it is, I was hoping by showing you that I have no problems, I'm ready to send whatever you want, that you would see, there's no problem here, Moshe is totally confident, we're going to be okay, and that you would back down. That's how Rashi deals with it, but it was always a problem. How does Rashi deal with the fact that in Devarim it sounds like it was a people's idea, and that in our parsha it was Hashem's idea? Because it was never Hashem's idea. Hashem is simply saying, I won't stop you. If you want to, you can, even though I'm offended by this whole thing. That's how Rashi deals with that. The Rabban takes a totally different approach, that the people wanted the spies, and Moshe thought it was a good idea, and it was a good idea. It was appropriate to seek out, because they didn't want to know certain pieces of information. All they wanted to know was, which road should we take? What's the best way to go? How does the Ramban then say, why does Hashem give them the command? Because the Ramban says, but I'm not going to let you do it in your manner of just sending two people. I'm going to command you in this because I want it done in my way. I want 12. I want leaders. I want representation from everyone equally. In case it goes bad, it's equal blame. And this way, they'll all be able to help each other out. So it actually was both. It was the people's initiative, and it was Hashem's initiative. And Rashi's approach was the people's initiative, and Hashem just says, I'm not going to stop you, but it was already a problem from the very beginning. That's how Rashi and Rabban have very different approaches to this very otherwise well-known story, exactly as to just where did the idea come from. If we had another hour, we would then be able to tackle where did the problem go. In other words, we haven't yet really heard in the Ramban, we haven't gone through the Psukim, so where does the problem start in the Ramban? Because until the spies come back, everything is good. So in the Ramban's world, the problem is going to rest solely on the spies' return. In Rashi's world, the problem, the seeds are already there. The seeds of disbelief, the seeds of dissension are already there when they asked and made the request in the beginning. So when they come back, they're already not ready to hear what's going to come back. So there's going to be a different approach that they'll also have as to how to interpret the words of the spies when they come back, because where the people are at very different places, according to the Ramban and according to Rashi, at that time. But that's what we'll have maybe next year.
You have another hour, Rabbi.
You do. Okay, that's it. Have a great week.